And it really is just a joy. Thank you for letting me share with you a little bit about what I'm involved in. And I also want to, before I forget, bring you greetings from Loughton Baptist Church in Milton Keynes. We have a guy like Paul who's in charge of our church. He's an amazing guy, our pastor. Last summer, he told us all to be at the church at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning and didn't tell us why. And 20 of us turned up at 9 o'clock on a Saturday morning, and he said, right, by 5 o'clock this afternoon, the church is going to be decorated, posh menus are going to be printed, posh invitations are going to be printed, and we're going to put on a banquet for the community. You've got £200 to spend, go. And we all just sat there and went, oh. But by 8 o'clock, we'd fed 30 people from the community a four-course meal, and we had indeed come in under budget. The great thing was most of those 30 people were from the community. They were from outside the church, and it was just an amazing day. So I'm very much involved in evangelism, both through Connect Radio, through Sorted Magazine. There are sample copies at the back. There's information about the radio station at the back if that's something that's of interest to you and you'd love to listen to us on the radio. But I am primarily working for these two organisations, and we're going to show you just a little video because there's some of the copies of the current newspaper on the table at the back. I want to show you a little video. I apologise that it's me again. You're not getting any escape. But this is a little video about what the paper's all about and what we do. So hopefully it will work. Here we go. Hi. My name's Andy Godfrey, and I'm the UK representative for the Good News newspaper. What is the Good News newspaper? Well, it's just that. An attractive monthly newspaper that is full of nothing but good news. When was the last time you picked up a newspaper that had nothing but good news in it? I suspect the answer to that question is never. The good news that we report on is the greatest news of all, that Jesus Christ is alive today and still changing lives. Each month we print powerful testimonies of people who are being transformed by an encounter with Jesus. The stories range from news about celebrities who found God or say something good about faith, to sportsmen and women who've met the Lord Jesus, and accounts of how local churches and Christians are making a difference in their communities. We also have film reviews and articles on science and the Bible. A crossword puzzle, Sudoku, and recipe are included, and these can be used to introduce your friends to the paper. In fact, to answer some of the clues in the crossword, you have to open a Bible. What a great way to start a conversation about the Lord. On the back of the paper, there is a space for you to put details of your own local church. And inside is a form which people can send to us if they want to know more about becoming a Christian. When we get these forms, we reply with a free booklet or video on how to become a follower of Jesus. And we offer counselling. The 8 pages are jammed packed with good news stories. It's great value. How is the paper being used? Many churches and evangelists are distributing it door to door in their neighbourhoods. Being a monthly publication, this creates great opportunities to revisit homes on a regular basis. Lots of churches are using it at their mums and tots groups, messy church or cafes, or they're giving it away through their local food banks. Many individual Christians buy copies to leave in places like a doctor's waiting room or dentist's waiting room, cafes or hairdressers. At Christmas and Easter, we produce special editions, which are great for inviting people to church events. The paper is also being given free of charge to prison chaplains, and over 70 are regularly taking the paper into their prisons. To find out more, to help support our ministry, and to order copies, please visit our website, www.goodnews-paper.org.uk. That's www.goodnews-paper.org.uk. Here, you can also read the current issue to see what's included. We live in a world full of bad news. As Christians, we have the greatest news the world has ever heard. The Good News newspaper is a fantastic way to share that news with your friends, your family, your colleagues, your neighbours, and in your communities. In a world full of bad news, isn't it time they had the good news? So there are two copies of the paper at the back. There is for you to have a look at. There's the August edition, which is the current one, and last month's edition as well. It's 20 pence a copy, plus postage and packing. I currently deliver about 190 copies to homes around our church in Milton Keynes. We started off with 200 homes. We've knocked on doors. Only 8 homes out of 200 have said, please stop delivering the paper. People are reading the gospel in the format of a newspaper. If you would like to get some perhaps for your own use, or even, I don't know, for the church, that would be great. There's a little form on the back, looks like that. Please pick it up, take it away. I've got a guy in Crewe who regularly goes to watch Crewe Alexandra play home football matches, and he gives them out in the crowd at the football matches. I've got another lady in London who randomly rides the tube, leaves them on the tube, and people are reading them there. I've got a guy in Liverpool. He's a pastor of a church. He goes into a special needs school. He got permission from the headmaster of the special needs school near his church to use the Good News newspaper in English classes with the kids. How about that? So the kids are getting taught English, but they're getting the gospel at the same time. So do have a look at the paper. I think I'm biased. I think it's great for sharing with non-Christians. Great to have around your church. Great to have in your community. So thank you for just letting me show you that little video. That's what I do. I'm the UK representative. I get to travel all over the country. I also get to write the film reviews. It's a hard job. Somebody has to go to the cinema. Feel sorry for me. Somebody has to, you know, watch a film and write about it. Anyway, there we are. Let's just pray, and then I want us briefly to look at this story together. So if we could bring the PowerPoint back up, please. Seems to have faded. There we go. No, we'll go back. Okay, let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you that this summer there will be many, many efforts to share Jesus with young people and older people alike. There will be camps and holiday Bible clubs and papers and tracts and leaflets distributed all over the country. We pray for every endeavour being made in the name of Jesus this summer. Now we pray that as we come to look at this story for a few minutes, you just bless it to us and help us to understand more of your word and what you are saying to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Two men lie in a dark, dank, damp, horrible, dirty, smelly, awful prison cell. They're in chains and their feet are in stocks. In all probability, there are rats nibbling at their toes. This is not a nice place. This is a horrible place. Their future is uncertain. They've been arrested on trumped up charges, as we just read. They don't know what's going to happen to them. They are in an awful position, and it's not very nice. And yet, we are told that round about midnight, these two men are heard by their fellow prisoners to be praying and singing hymns. Now, can I just say, the praying I get. I understand the praying. I think if I had been in that situation, I would have been praying as well, and so were you. And I don't think we need to be over spiritual about this. There were other prisoners praying in that cell as well. They might have been praying to a different God. There may well have been prisoners in that prison cell praying to Aphrodite or Diana or even the emperor who had declared himself God. The praying I get. But singing? And please notice what we are told they are singing. They are singing hymns. And the question arises, given the situation they're in, what on earth was there to sing about? I looked up the definition of the word hymn. The word hymn simply means a religious song of praise to God or a God. The verb simply means praise. These two men are singing songs of praise. These two boys are not singing the blues, as you would expect. They're singing hymns. What on earth was there to sing about, given their situation, given the position they're in? What was there to sing about? Now, as we think about these two, what I want to do is bring the story forward a little bit. I want to actually bring the story forward to this morning. These guys are in prison, they're falsely accused, they're shackled, they're awake at midnight, they're possibly facing the death penalty, who knows. But let's bring the story forward. When you got up this morning and had your breakfast and got dressed to come to church, you knew full well, you knew there'd be a prayer, you knew that there would probably be a sermon, maybe some of you were hoping there wouldn't be, but you knew coming in through that door this morning that there would be a sermon, you knew there'd be a reading from the Bible, and you knew that there would be singing. You knew that when you came to church this morning. And I want to suggest to you that people walking by this building this morning, hearing us singing, hearing the sound of music filtering out through the door into the street, may well ask the same question of us today. Listen to that lot in that chapel. What on earth are they singing about? Because in reality, if we look at the world around us, there isn't an awful lot to sing about, is it? Is there? I mean, we've still got COVID. COVID is still around. People are still in hospital suffering from COVID, and somebody's telling us it's on the increase again. Petrol, I filled up my car to come here yesterday at Astra in Milton Keynes. I wasn't singing. I was crying. Recently, I had to go to Manchester for an event. I was forced to fill up my tank on a motorway service station. £2.5p. I wasn't singing. We've got a nation in political turmoil. You following the Tory leadership debate? Don't get me started. We've got a nation in political turmoil, and the opposition aren't much better at the moment. What's there to sing about? Times are difficult. We hear all the time about the cost of living crisis. And anybody walking by this building this morning, hearing us singing, may well look at this chapel and ask the question, what on earth have that lot in there got to sing about? Maybe some of you are facing personal difficulties at this moment in time. Maybe there are bills that you're struggling to pay. Maybe there is ill health. Maybe there are broken relationships. Maybe there are worries at work or worries about retirement. Maybe you've got personal difficulties at the moment. What on earth is there to sing about? My best friend in Milton Keynes had a stroke just before Christmas. She's a Christian. She only just got home from hospital 6 weeks ago, and now she's got COVID. If she goes to church this she won't be going to church this morning, but if she did, what on earth has she got to sing about? What do we have to sing about? See, the problem is that the same guy who's singing in that cell on that evening went on to write some letters that form the bulk of our New Testament. And in those letters, he had the audacity to say things like this. Rejoice always when you're filling up your car with petrol. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. When you've had a stroke, now you've got COVID. For this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. What? Give thanks in all circumstances. And he's not finished. He goes on. In fact, he wrote a letter back to this church in this town where he's in prison. After he'd escaped and been set free, he goes off, he writes a letter back to the Christians in the same town, and he says, rejoice in the Lord always, and I will say it again, rejoice. You know, sometimes I just want to grab Paul. And I want to say, Paul, how on earth am I supposed to follow this instruction? How am I supposed to give thanks in all circumstances, when the car breaks down, when somebody gets ill, when the bills have got to be paid? How am I meant to follow, as a Christian, as a believer in God, as a Bible-believing person, how am I meant to follow these instructions that you're laying down, telling me to give thanks in all circumstances? How does that work, Paul, in reality? One of my favourite films, and I mentioned I'm obsessed with movies, is Singing in the Rain. Well, Gene Kelly was in love. He went out and he sang in the rain because he'd just left Debbie Reynolds after a lovely night that they'd had together, and he's in love. That's why Gene Kelly was singing in the rain. How am I meant to sing in the rain? For exactly the same reason. If Paul was here, he would say exactly the same reason as Gene Kelly was singing in the rain, because you're in love. Who are you in love with? God. That's why we sing. We don't sing because of our circumstances. We don't give thanks for our circumstances. We sing in our circumstances. And we sing to a God who's in love with us. Now, I can't get my head around that. I mean, Paul mentioned we've known each other for a long time. I've been preaching since I was 15. I still can't get my head around this. That God loves me. That God loves me. And that God wants me to love him back. I can't get my head around that at all. I can't get my head around the fact that Jesus Christ, the only perfect person who's ever lived, the Son of God, loved me and then died for me. Wow. So when Paul asks me to sing in the rain, he asked me to sing in the rain for exactly the same reasons as Gene Kelly was singing in the rain, because I'm in love. Because I'm in love with God. With a God who loves me and cares for me and has promised to meet all my needs. I don't sing and give thanks for my circumstances. I sing and give thanks for God. For a God who has done so much for me. I sing because I remember who I'm singing to. I can sing in the rain when I remember who I'm singing to. A God who loves me, a God who cares for me, a God who sent his son to die for me. I can sing in the rain when I remember what that God has done for me. Saved me, forgiven me, guaranteed me a place in heaven. I still can't get my head round it, but these thoughts enable me to follow the biblical instruction. To give thanks in all circumstances, they enable me to sing in the rain. These thoughts enable me to sing in the rain when I remember what he's going to do for me. All that Jesus has promised to do. You know, the Lord may not come for 1,000 years, but look at the signs of the times. Jesus is on his way back. Amen? Remember what he's going to do for you. Stay faithful and stay hopeful in all circumstances because of who God is, because of what he's done for you, because of what he's going to do for you. Keep thinking those thoughts and you will find that you will be able to follow the biblical injunction and you will be able to sing in the rain. But Andy, sorry, mate, it's still too hard. It's still too difficult. There really are days when I really don't feel like singing at all. Do you know what? That's okay, because the Bible covers this situation as well. We mentioned my dad a couple of times this morning. My dad's favourite book was the book of Nehemiah. Remember the story of Nehemiah? Nehemiah and the Jewish people are in captivity in Babylon. And Nehemiah's heard that the walls of Jerusalem have been broken down. I had the privilege of going to Jerusalem a couple of years ago. And there's great big walls around the city. They're incredibly impressive. But the walls in Nehemiah's day were down. The city was in rubble. And so Nehemiah goes to the king of Babylon and he says, please, can I go back to Jerusalem and can I take a team of workers with me and can we rebuild the walls? And they do. And when the walls are rebuilt, they have a bit of a celebration. But at this celebration, there's no singing. You won't find any reference to singing in the book of Nehemiah. Nevertheless, they have a celebration. And what happens is this. In Nehemiah chapter 8, which we're going to come to, it contains one of the most famous verses in the Bible, the joy of the Lord is your strength. What happens is this. You can read that for yourself. I'll summarize it. The chief priest and Nehemiah stand up. They get hold of the books of Moses, the Pentateuch, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, and they read them to the people. Don't know how long it took. They stand up in front of all the people and they read the scripture to them. They read the Bible to them. And then notice what it says right at the bottom there. It says, this day is holy, unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. But if I go back to the previous slide, look at what it says at the bottom. Please take note. All the people went away to eat and drink, to send portions of food, and to celebrate with great joy, because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. They're not singing. They've got great joy. They're happy. They're singing in the rain. Situation's still difficult. They're singing in the rain, but it's because they understood the words. Notice that. They understood the words that had been made known to them. Remember to whom you're singing. Remember what he's done for you. Remember what he's going to do for you. And when you do that, you will find joy and strength in him. If you don't feel like singing, can I suggest this? Go and have a good meal. go and have a good meal. And what I mean by that is read your Bible. Read your Bible. Because the more you understand of the Word, the greater your joy will be. The more you understand of the Word, that's why the sermon, by the way, is so important, and you shouldn't fall asleep during the sermon, even if Paul is preaching. You shouldn't fall asleep during the sermon. That's why the Bible study is so important. That's why the quiet time is so important. These people, let's go back to it again, they had great joy because they understood the Word. A greater understanding of the Word of God will bring great joy even on days when it's raining. That's what reading the Bible does for you. It brings you great joy even on bad days. Now I love, and this is, you can see, a particular problem of mine. Okay, mum, close your ears. I love my fast food, right? I live very near Stadium MK. Some of you might have seen it on the telly. They're playing some of the women's Euros matches there. Stadium Milton Keynes has got two great things attached to it. It's got a drive-through McDonald's and it's got a drive-through KFC. Yes, that's a result. Coming home late at night from a meeting, oh, the temptation, because it's 24 hours a day. You know the problem with some of us in the Bible? We have fast food when it comes to the Bible. We do a drive-through when it comes to the Bible. Nothing wrong with little booklets that have got little daily Bible reading notes. They can be such a joy and a blessing, and I'm not condemning them. The trouble is that some of us never eat anything else than fast food when it comes to the Bible. We never sit and study it. We never take time to read it. If I had a letter from a friend that was 5 pages long, I wouldn't start reading it at page 3. I'd start reading it at page 1. Some of us dive in at 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and then we don't understand what he's talking about because we haven't read chapters 1 and 2. Great joy because they understood the Word. If you want to experience joy as a Christian, even on days when it's chucking it down with rain, go and have a meal. Not a fast food drive-through meal with the Bible. That's a nice little text to move on. Study it, read it, get to know it. Feed on it. It will bring joy to your soul because it will remind you of whom you're singing, what he's done for you, and what he's going to do for you. That's what studying the Bible does. And that's why it brings us great joy, even on rainy days. What was there to sing about? Well, they were alive. You know, every heartbeat is a gift from God. That heartbeat that you've just had right now, boom, boom. Gift from God, gift from God, gift from God. They were alive. They were in God's hands. What better safer hands to be in? Put your hands in the hands of God. What better place hands to be in? And they knew that regardless of what happened to them, they had a hope in the future. You know, I mentioned my friend who had a stroke. When she was in hospital, I was able to get her on the phone just one day, and she could barely talk because the stroke had affected her speech. And I told my friend that I was looking at this particular story and I was asking the question, what is there to sing about? And over the phone, she said this to me. She said, Andy, sometimes we sing to take our minds off what's happening and what we're going through. That's true, isn't it? You know, when you're in a frightening situation, see people in a frightening situation, what do? They start singing. You know, we sometimes sing. We sometimes listen to music because it takes our minds off what we're going through at that moment in time. There's another good reason for praise. There's another good reason for worship. There's another good reason to give thanks in all circumstances. It takes your minds off what you're going through in the here and now and focuses your mind on God. Paul wrote, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. How do you do that? You do that by singing hymns and choruses and reading the Word of God. For you died. Your life is now hid with Christ. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. I love the Message version of the Bible. The Message version of the Bible renders that text like this. If you are serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Pursue the things which Christ pursues. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground, absorbed with things right in front of you. Look up and be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from his perspective. How do I sing in the rain as a Christian? How do I obey this command that Paul has given me, and sometimes I just want to grab him and say, Paul, you're asking for the impossible. I do it by remembering who I'm singing to. I do it by remembering what he's done for me. I do it by remembering what he's going to do for me. And I do it by making sure I have a good meal every day, because joy comes from understanding the Word of God. And because understanding the Word of God gives me a greater understanding of God himself. It is possible, dear friends, to sing in the rain. Let's pray together. Just take a moment to be still and quiet. Maybe you're going through a rainy day at the moment. Maybe it's pouring. Maybe the thunder clouds are gathering and there's all sorts of difficulties. I don't know. But I do know this. Paul tells us to rejoice in all circumstances, not because of our circumstances, not give thanks for our circumstances, but to rejoice in our God who can carry us through our circumstances. Set your minds on things where Christ is, because that's where the action is. Father, if I've said anything this morning that should not have been said or has not been true to your word, cause us to forget it. But the next time it rains, help us to remember who we sing to, what you have done for us, what you're going to do for us. And help us to go back to your word and refresh our souls. We thank you that the more we understand of your word, the more joy we get. We praise you, Heavenly Father, for blessing us this morning and being with us. Speak to us from your word, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.